All righty, guys. Hey, we're going to continue our sermon today in Running with the Giants, okay? And today we're going to talk about a young lady of faith. We're going to talk about a lady of faith, okay? Because here's the deal, guys. This is the great roll call of faith. There's been men of faith, and there have been women of faith, amen? So sometimes we focus on the great men in the Bible. There were some pretty amazing women in the Bible, okay? Could you imagine what this church would be like if it wasn't for the amazing women of God in this church? I wouldn't want to try it, would you, Ricky? No, I wouldn't want to try it. Imagine how we decorate stuff. Man, you'd have taxidermy in every bathroom, okay? I mean, we would probably think 10 points would look good on that little white portion of the wall. Who knows what we'd do, JD? We'd have a beaver up here. We'd have a Nutri-Rat. I mean, you know men, okay? We'd have a Bateau up here and thought that looks good, okay? We'd camo the place out, okay? Wow, I'm getting excited, okay? But you see, you ladies keep us from doing all that foolish stuff, okay? But today we want to talk about a great woman of faith. And, you know, the last couple weeks we've talked about Noah. We talked about Moses. We've talked about Abraham. And today we see a lady coming out of the stands. For those of you that are with us for the first time, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And what we've been doing is, imagine if some of these great men and women of faith could come out of the annals of heaven, come out of the stands of heaven, and run a lap with us, and talk to us, and encourage us, and maybe tell us some of the things that helped them walk with the Lord. So, we already, like I said, heard from Noah, heard from Moses, heard from Abraham. Well, today, a woman descends from the stadium, and we can see that she is opulently dressed. Her clothes are vibrantly colored and appear to be made of the finest silk. She's wearing gold jewelry and a crown studded with precious gems. Her grace and bearing lead us to believe that she must be royalty. Now that she's getting closer, we can see that she is a mature woman. She is breathtakingly gorgeous, kind of like my wife. As she comes along, in fact, I said, Sean, you want to do an illustrated sermon? Would you like to dress up like? She's like, no. Okay. I tried. Okay. She comes alongside us and she seems to glide as we move down the track. She says, I must tell you something very important. She says, God has a place for you. Her voice is gentle but strong, pleasing to the ear. We look into her eyes and she simply says, my name is Esther. God has a place for you. Today, Esther reminds us of the fact that God has a place for all of us. Here on this earth and even in heaven. There is a place for every one of us somewhere in ministry here at this church. Some of you may say, if you're a visitor, well, surely y'all have enough volunteers. Surely y'all don't need my help. Surely you are mistaken, okay? Because we need you. Every one of us in here are needed by God. God has a place for every one of us. We don't have enough workers. No church has enough workers, okay? There is a place for all of us. There's a place in Royal Rangers, amen, Brother Rick? There's a place in Missionettes, amen? There's a place in Sunday school. There's even still a place or two in music. If you think, oh, Sister Garland's got all she needs. No, there's still place for you. We don't have anybody playing this bass yet. We still have some instruments that are unmanned. We need your help, okay? There's a place in youth. Let me go ahead and help my youth pastor out a little bit. He needs helpers, okay? Sometimes being a youth pastor is like herding cats, okay? You ever try to take a cat for a walk? They do what they want to do, right? Okay? Sometimes teenagers are like that. They need some adults. They need some folks to help out a little bit. You saw Sister Sarah up there. She could use some help with kids. Well, I tell you what, that was herding cats up here, wasn't it? I mean, it was cute and everything, but it was like, okay, y'all line up. There are places for all of us. And here's the thing, guys. God has a place for you. God has a place. It may be in youth. It may be in kids. It may be behind the scenes doing maintenance in these wonderful facilities God has blessed us with. You know, there was probably a time that there was a full-time person. All he did was maintenance. We don't have that anymore. Or maybe a full-time volunteer who all they did was maintenance. Guys, we have we need you. We absolutely need you. God has a place for you. And Esther would want to tell you that God has a place for you. And if I could add something, I would say God has a place for you here. God has something for you to do here. Amen? So this morning in our message, as we learn from the amazing story of Esther, let's be reminded that God has a place for us. God has a purpose for our lives. And if we'll trust him, he'll use us to do great and mighty things. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for Esther. Thank you for an amazing woman of God. I pray that this lady would encourage every lady here today. But God, she would also challenge every man here today, Lord God, that if she could step up to the plate and be used by God for such a time as this, so should we. And I pray today, Lord God, that you would bless us, you would keep us, you would protect us, and most importantly, you would remind us, Lord, that you have a place for us right here in ministry, in Berwick, in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, guys. Now, if ever there was someone with a strong sense of place and destiny, it was Esther. However, for many years, she did not realize that God had a special place for her to serve him. For much of her life, she would say, I felt out of place. Her parents died when she was very young. She was adopted by her uncle Mordecai. There were times she felt out of place in his home. As she grew up in a strange country with different customs, again, she felt out of place. And being a simple girl, being brought to the king's court, obviously made her feel very much out of place. Wow, looky here. Good job back there, guys. Awesome. Esther lived during a time when the Hebrews had been taken from their homeland and exiled to Persia. She suffered many hardships in her life, but she also received a rare opportunity. When the king of Persia sought a new queen, all the most beautiful young unmarried women in the land were brought together and prepared to be presented to him. That included Esther. Even though she was Jewish, a fact that she did not share with others. To her delight and that of Mordecai, she was chosen by the king to be queen. Wow. It looked as if Esther's life was destined for a happy storybook ending. It was like one of them Lifetime movies, okay? Hallmark movies, okay? We love them, don't we, Rick? It was like one of those movies, JD, that, oh, it's going to end just so happily, so awesome. But then an official named Haman in the king's court plotted to have all the Jews in the entire kingdom executed simply because of a grudge he held against Mordecai. When Mordecai discovered the plan, he sought Esther's help to save their people. Mordecai wanted her to appeal to the king. See, guys, have there ever been times when you felt you weren't where you belonged? Were there ever times that you just didn't feel like you fit? Okay? You know, guys, the last two jobs that I've had fit that description, okay? When I worked in the district office, I never fit there, okay? I just never felt comfortable there, okay? First of all, I'm a Cajun in North Louisiana. That's not a good thing, okay? JD, there ain't no redfish and ain't no speckled trout up there. I look for them, okay? And they all talk funny up that way. Anybody ever been up that? They talk funny, don't they, Amber? They say we talk funny, but could they ever hear themselves? Tracy, y'all talk really funny, okay? By the way, Tracy's from West Monroe, okay? Well, you know. They talk funny, JD, okay? From Faraday. Yeah, but you've been down here long enough. We're fixing you, okay? But look, guys, I never felt comfortable there, okay? You know, with all the politics involved, I was never real fond of that, Rick, okay? I dressed differently than them, okay? You realize you hadn't seen your pastor in a suit yet, right? Okay? And the next time you'll see me in a suit, one of y'all's going to heaven, so one of y'all ain't gonna see it. Okay? You won't know it, okay? You might know from heaven, hey, he's wearing a suit for me, okay? Yeah, I'll wear a suit when you die, okay? About the only time I'm gonna wear a suit. In fact, if it ain't a wedding or a funeral, I ain't wearing one, okay? Mostly because I've gained 30 pounds and none of them fit, okay? But here's the deal. I never fit in there. Now, were we able to accomplish some things? Yeah, we did some things for missions. We did some things in men's ministry. That was all good, okay? And then now I'm in a school system. And guys, I don't fit there real well too, okay? In case you're wondering, I'm not a good teacher, okay? There's a reason why my wife teaches on Wednesdays, because you don't want to hear me teach. Now, can I preach a little bit? Yeah, I can preach a little bit, but I can't teach. You don't want me teaching. Hunter's been in my class before. Hunter, what kind of teacher am I? Not very good. Huh? I do let half the class sleep, because if I could sleep, I would. Okay? Do you realize, do you know there are teachers that write kids up for sleeping? Why do they do that? Okay? I mean, I know I'm boring, so I let them sleep. Okay? But hallelujah, we are done with health. Okay? We are done with health. We're all about the gym now. They don't sleep in the gym. Okay? And I am the perfect coach. You know, we have the three R's of health and PE, okay? You take roll, you roll the ball out, and you unroll the newspaper, okay? I got that down. I can do that, Sister Josie, okay? By the way, did I mention my baseball team's winning? As long as my baseball team's winning, I can do anything I want in that gym, okay? But, hey, guys, you ever felt out of place? I've been there. You've been there before. But here's the deal, guys. When we're out of place, realize that God is not mistaken where we're at. God puts us in certain situations for certain things to maybe be revealed in our heart. You know, guys, in this last year, which has been a real challenge for us, I've learned some things about myself. Chantel and I have learned some things about ourselves that's going to make us better pastors for you in the future. You know what I've learned during this time of being a bivocational pastor, of working a full-time secular job? I've learned a little bit more empathy for those of you that are volunteers that work 40 hours a week and then come and volunteer at the church. When I was just in full-time ministry, I didn't think that was such a big deal. Sister Josie, I was an idiot, okay? You wouldn't call your pastor an idiot, but I can call him an idiot. I was an idiot. Okay? I was unlearned. I was ignorant of the fact that those of you that work all day, it's a challenge. It's a sacrifice for you to do for the Lord. So you know what, guys? I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for all that you do for the Lord. Those of you that are new in ministry, those that are like Fabian, they're like, I'll do anything, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much. And now as a pastor, I think I'm going to be a better pastor because I'm going to understand what people are going through a little bit better. But have you ever felt out of place? We've all been there before. But God has a place for every one of us. God has a place for every one of us here today. You see, sometimes we lack close relationships with others. Other times we question our ability to do the job required of us. We simply feel out of place. We fear that we will never feel at home. Esther understands. All of her life she felt out of place, having been dislocated from her family, her culture, and her country. But she encourages us with these words: no place is out of place when you're in God's place. Let me say that again. No place is out of place when you're in God's place. You see, guys, no place is out of place when you're where God wants you. This is the first step in finding your place in God's great scheme of things. Realize that God has positioned you properly for this season of your life to do great things for Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, guys, how many in here ever play the game of chess? Okay? Chess is a great game, okay? Chess is a game where you have to see the big picture, right? Now, here's another thing. How many rather the game of checkers? Okay, there you go. I love the checkers. Those are the otters. Those are the sanguines, okay? Those are the ones that, you know, they're all about fun, okay? Checkers is an awesome game. It can be done in about 3 minutes, okay? Blah, blah, blah. Especially if you play by them goofy rules like super checker and it could jump anything, okay? I played some interesting games of checker, but I prefer chess. Why? Because it's all about seeing the big picture, Blaine. It's all about strategizing, okay? With checkers, I know there's a little strategy, but really, you're just jumping things, okay? I mean, like a bunny can do that, okay? But chess, you're positioning your pieces. You can't win in one move. You have to strategize. And why do I tell you that story? Because God is a master chess player. God is positioning His pieces properly so that Jeremy, he can checkmate the devil one more time. Amen? He is strategically positioning us, Fabian, so that when the time is right, everything will come together and then He'll win the victory. And guys, that's what he's doing at this church. He's positioning every one of us properly. He is putting us in the right place at the right time so that when the time is right, everything will come together and victory will be ours. And here's the great thing. We won't get the credit for it. It'll all go to him. Amen. Because all we are is, I don't know, I may be the rook, okay? You may be the queen. You may be the horse, whatever, okay? Whatever piece you may be. Some of you are, I'm just a little old pawn, okay? But let me tell you, I've eaten up some pretty big things with a pawn. God can use you, no matter what you are, to do something significant for him. Because God is into things like that. No place is the wrong place when you're in God's place, okay? And God has positioned each and every one of us right like he wants so that when the time is right, victory will be ours. Amen? She continues her story. She says, Mordecai's request of her was no small one. For Esther to try to make a difference for her people, she would need great courage. Guys, I've got to tell you, if you're going to do anything significant for God, it's going to take courage. Because the moment, Sister Valley, you decide, I'm going to try this for God, fear is going to come your way. The enemy will always try to stop you with fear. He'll always try to say, well, what if it doesn't work, Sister Josie? Jennifer, what if you fail? What if you succeed? Amen? What if you succeed? What if nobody comes? What if a lot of people come? Okay? See, again, guys, the enemy will try to bring fear your way. He'll try to come to you and try to get you to think of situations that would never even occur. But God says if you'll believe him, if you'll have courage, he will use you to do great things. Amen? You see, guys, at the time, if anyone who had not been summoned by the king appeared before him and he wasn't pleased, that person could be executed. For 30 days, Esther had not been called to go before the king. If she went to him on her own, she would be risking her life because she did not yet understand that God had uniquely placed her where he wanted her in order to accomplish his will. At first, she refused. In Esther chapter number 4, by the way, if you have not read the book of Esther in some time, go home and read it this week. It will bless your socks off. Amen. Esther chapter number 4 says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Guys, I'm going to make a prophetic statement over this church and over you and your family. This is such a time as this moment. I believe that this is for such a time as this moment for Lighthouse Community Church. I believe that this is for such a time as this moment for you and your family. This is for such a time as this moment for this community. God has strategically put us together, Brother JD. God has sent me and my family here to be your pastor. God has sent new people into this church to come and go to work. God has seen folks who have been faithful, Sister Eloise, the Navarros, people who have been faithful. Sister Josie, long, long times you've been faithful. Sister Gilmore, long time you've been faithful. God has put this together for such a time as this, and we're going to see him do great and mighty things. Amen? Because that's what God does. God loves this community more than you could ever imagine. God loves your unsaved loved ones more than you could ever imagine. God wants to do something significant in this community one more time through this church. Amen? So I prophetically declare that this is for such a time as this moment. This is a time that God is going to bring things together and do something amazing in our lives. Amen? You see, that's what happened with Esther. Mordecai's words changed the way Esther felt about herself. For the first time, she realized that God had a place for her. Her hesitation was replaced with direction. Her questions were dissolved with newfound convictions. She was ready to take action. Scripture described her response in Esther chapter number 4, verses 15 and 16. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, day or night. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." You see, Esther came to realize that her privileges were not just for her pleasure. She had been put in the palace for a purpose. And you have been placed where you are for a purpose as well. Courage and initiative come when you understand your purpose in life. What Esther experienced brings to mind the words of Winston Churchill. He said, "In every age, there comes a time when a leader must come forward to meet the needs of the hour. Therefore, there is no potential leader who does not have an opportunity to make a positive difference in society. Tragically, there are times when a leader does not rise to the hour." Guys, the hour is now. And we are being called by God to stand up and be counted. This is for such a time as this moment. Every one of us in here are needed. Every one of you are necessary. God has a place and a passion and something for each and every one of you to do. God not only has a place for us, He has placed us where He needs us. The decision is ours as to whether we will do what we can where we are. You see, in the same way, you and I are not here by mistake. God has ordained me to be your pastor. He has also a place for every one of us here this morning. Whether you're a visitor or a longtime member, Lighthouse Community Church in Berwick is the place for you to do great things for God. It's up to you and I to fulfill the Great Commission here in Berwick by loving God and loving people. We need to stay busy doing everything we can for the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Finally, let's look at Esther's words of encouragement. Wow, there's a place for you. That's what Esther would say. No place is the wrong place when God's with you. No place is the wrong place. Even though I'm still out of high school for about 2 more months, it's not the wrong place. God is using me there. Amen? And He's going to use you wherever you are as well. So Esther's words of encouragement. Esther's story itself is a great encouragement to us. It's reassuring to remember that God is always with us. And to know that we can be used by God no matter where we find ourselves. But Esther isn't done. As we make the final turn on the track, she would tell us three final things. Number one, she would say, for a period of time, you may not understand God's planning and purpose for your life. Selah. Stop and ponder on that one a little bit. For a moment in time, you may not understand God's planning and purpose for your life. That was certainly true for her. If you're in a season of life where you don't yet understand God's plan, take heart. Just because you don't understand God's plan for your life doesn't mean He doesn't care or He doesn't have one. Have faith and remain obedient to Him. You know, guys, if I can be transparent for just a moment, about a year ago, I really thought I was done with full-time ministry. Brother-in-law, people like that who are close to me know that. For 20 years of my life, I was in full-time ministry, and God had given us some success and some blessings, and then I messed around and let folks elect me to a district office, okay? And about a year ago, I left that district office, and Rick, I was bitter. I was frustrated. I was done like you were, Jennifer, but in a different sense. I was done with all the political nonsense. I was done with all the facades. I was done with all the fake stuff. And I was ready to be a coach and a teacher, okay? I can do one of those two things. I'll let you figure out which, okay? And no church wanted us as their pastor. We contacted a few of them. They didn't want us, okay? Not a lot of folks were calling for me to go preach. Jeremy, I thought I could preach a little bit, but apparently nobody else did because they didn't call me. I was really frustrated, Sister Eloise. I found myself at a place I'd never been before. I didn't understand God's plan. I asked why a whole lot, and I realized there's no good answers to that one. The devil wants you to keep asking why, Sister Josie. He wants you to keep asking why. But I've learned through this process that instead of asking why, God, ask what? God, what are you trying to do? God, what are you trying to teach me? Sister Valley, you ever ask why? Oh, yeah. But don't you get better answers when you ask what? God, what are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to do in my life? And I look from that moment, and then I fast forward to here, and all I can say is thank you, God. Because you know what? If I hadn't gotten to that place where I was, I would not have ended up here. Brother Rick, I was much more prideful a year ago than I am today. In the last year, your pastor has been humbled, and that's a good thing. You've had some prideful pastors in this pulpit, and you've had some humble pastors. And trust me, you need a humble one. Amen? There's no room in that pulpit for pride. Amen? That's a recipe for disaster. And you've seen that before. And a year ago, I still was pretty prideful. A year ago, I still had a whole lot of confidence in self, JD. But over the last year, God's taken that away. And because of that, I stand before you today, a humble servant of God who needs God's grace and mercy just as desperately as every one of you do. And the only thing that makes me any different than you is I have the title of reverend, okay? And in the grand scheme of things, that don't mean a whole lot. Amen? But guys, I look at where I was and I look at where I am today. And even though I didn't understand what God was doing, I stayed faithful. Okay? I might have been done with the Assemblies of God. I might have been done with the district leadership, yada, yada, yada. But I wasn't done with God because I knew better than to walk away from Him. I knew that was never an option. Now, there were a few moments Chantel might have scratched her head and go, "Whoo, God." But I was never going to walk away from God because He did too much for me. Okay? Man, I can walk away from a few of them, but I could never walk away from Jesus because He would never give up on me. And I look at where I am today, and all I can say is thank you, Lord, because I'm right where I need to be. I'm right at the church that God wants me at. I am right with the people that God wants me with. Amen? And guys, whether you understand the plans of God, whether you understand what He's trying to do, just trust that He knows best. See, here's the amazing thing about us, guys. We only see what's going on today. Fabian, we see our past, we see our present, and we don't have much clue about the future. But God sees all of our yesterdays, todays, and tomorrows at the same time. And He is that strategic chess player who's moving the pieces, who's getting everything set up for such a time as this to win the game. Guys, that's how God works, and that's what He's done in my life, and it's what He's doing in your life. You just got to trust Him. Have faith and remain obedient to Him. Because remember, blessings follow obedience. Secondly, Esther would say, when you realize God's purpose for your life, you feel empowered. When you realize what God has called you to do, when you start doing what God has ordained you to do, Jeremy, you feel empowered. Amen? You see, when Mordecai explained to her that God might have made her queen just to save His people, her heart soared. It steeled her resolve. When the time comes that you recognize a call of God on your life, it will fire you to action, even in the face of opposition or danger. Fabian, when you realize what God has called you to, you're going to walk boldly into that. Amen? You won't turn to the right or to the left. You're going to stay focused on what God has called you to do. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of you in here. Regardless of if you're in your teenage years, regardless of you're a few decades older than that, God has a place for every one of you. And when you realize that, it gives you power. It's like the wind in your sails that helps you do great things for God. It worked for Esther. It's worked for me. It'll work for you as well. And then finally, Esther would say, taking a risk is easier when you know God is in control. Taking a risk is much easier when you know God's got you back. When she said to Mordecai, "If I perish, I perish," she wasn't being fatalistic. She was placing herself in God's hands, knowing that even death is something that can be faced with confidence when you trust God. Not only does God have a place for us here on earth, He's prepared a place for us in heaven. You see, guys, when you put your future in God's hands, that's a good place. Amen? You know, sometime a year or so ago, we just placed our future in God's hands. Look at where we're at today. I challenge you to do the same thing. Whether you understand what he's doing or not, trust that he has your best interests in mind. Trust that he knows better than you do. When you give him your future, when you give him your plans, teenagers, you know what, teenagers, some of you have some great plans, some great purposes. Amber, I can only imagine the dreams and the plans that you have. Baby, give those things to God, because your plans are right here, but his plans are so much more immense. And the amazing thing is, he wants to marry your plans with his, and the future will blow you away. Guys, that could be said for every person in here, regardless if you're 17 or 71, God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? And every one of you in here is needed. Sister Valley, God has no retirement system, sweetheart. It's a refirement system. Amen? He wants you fired up for him one more time. He wants you to pray like never before. He wants you to pray for your pastor. I know you do that. Keep it up. Guys, God has a plan for every one of us. Esther's life proves that no place is the wrong place when you're in God's place. Amen? Esther would close with this prayer for us. Heavenly Father, allow my friends to look beyond adversity or feelings of insecurity to see your greater purpose and plan. Empower them to take joy in the place where you have put them. Take comfort in the knowledge that you are in charge, and take action to fulfill the purpose for which you have called them. Do all these things and more in your holy name. Amen. You see, guys, Esther's life proves that God has a place for all of us. Here on earth, here at this church during ministry, and even in heaven, which Jesus speaks about in John chapter number 1. I want to read that together real quick as we close. John chapter 1, John writes, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Good stuff right here, huh? Verse 4, "And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Verse 5, "Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said these famous words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, guys, Jesus stated that "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is also the only way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. I wish church membership could get you to heaven, but it can't. Only Jesus is the way. Jesus said, "I am the way. No man is the way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life." It's all about him, guys. He is the only way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. Accepting his sacrifice for you and I at Calvary. Asking him to forgive us of our sins. To come into our heart as our Lord and Savior. Friends, are you sure of your place in heaven? Is your relationship with and faith in Jesus Christ stronger today than it ever been before? If you cannot answer those two questions with a resounding yes, is your relationship with and your faith in Jesus stronger today than ever before? If you cannot answer those questions with a resounding yes, friends, today is the day of salvation.